Hallelujah. Come on, let's bless the name of the Lord one more time tonight. Give him a hand clap of praise. Oh, come on. Come on, youth camp. Come on, truth camp. Let's give him glory. Somebody lift your voice and say, Lord, I love you tonight. Oh, I give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, we thank you tonight, Jesus. You can be seated for the moment. Oh, so thankful tonight for his goodness. So glad for what we sense and feel in this house tonight. Hallelujah. I know you've had a busy day of activity, and we're so thankful for all that's been accomplished today. And this morning, our morning evangelist, Brother Stephen Taylor, did a fantastic job. Why don't we give him a hand clap of appreciation? Preached on the manifesting power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so thankful for the presence of the Lord in this house this morning. And just believing, amen, for him to do something special in our hearts here tonight. Hallelujah. Before we get into the word, I have been asked to make a public service announcement. Is there anybody here from Team Yellow tonight? Stand up and cheer so everybody can see you. Where's Team Yellow? Show yourself. All right. Now, listen. Listen, I've got a message. Y'all can be seated. Now, some of you right now are getting jealous and saying the preacher's playing favorites. But I got to tell you what happened. These were slipped to me and said, Brother Jacob, make an announcement that everybody else better be on the lookout for Team Yellow. All right? Now, I've made that announcement for Yellow, so we'll see who slips me a Team Color tomorrow night. We'll see what happens. But I know there's been some intense moments of fellowship amongst the teams today. Amen. I didn't realize that we would find a place as to where capture the flag had to be just killed before somebody got killed. But anyhow, it's been a good day. Lots of competition, lots of good things, lots of fun, and looking forward to what God wants to say to us tonight. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's just get into the word of the Lord tonight. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. We're going to read verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 1 tonight, and then we're going to look over in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read these very familiar passages of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 1, if you're there with me, why don't you say amen? The Bible says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Somebody say, perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. It doesn't stop there. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, turn away from it. Turn away from it. Now listen. Here in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, as we just read, it said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 17. Acts 2 and 17, and I believe Brother Stephen had quoted this today, may have even read it. But it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will. Somebody say, I will. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Somebody say, that's me. Come on, say it with authority. That's me. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Can I tell you in 2 Timothy 3 and 1 through 5, what we read, we see a description of the last day, the season, the time of which we live. However, I'm so glad that God didn't leave the story just there. I'm glad tonight that he didn't put a period there and said, look at all this wickedness. Look at all of this vile that's running rampant in our society. Look at the hearts of wicked men and wicked imaginations. Brother Torbert, he didn't put the period there. But he said, in one hand, perilous times shall come. But when we get to Acts 2 and 17 here, the Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days. Oh, can I tell you, is that in spite of the wickedness that is surrounding us, in spite of the darkness and the dilemma of where we are also in a time where God said, for my sons and daughters in this day and age, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to let wickedness stop where we are, but I'm going to open the windows of heaven and I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. We see the dichotomy of the last days of perilous times. The conditions that are around us seem somewhat intimidating. But based upon the scripture, Brother Tom, I believe tonight that it's safe to say, if I can preach for a few moments of your time on this subject, and that is, the conditions are right for rain. Hallelujah. The conditions, somebody say it with me, the conditions are right for rain. Amen. Look at somebody, shake their hand and tell them, say, I'm ready for rain. Amen. Go ahead and tell them, I'm ready for rain tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to heaven one more time. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's call upon him tonight. Won't you tell him right now, Lord, here we are. Our souls are thirsty. Our hearts are hungry. Lord, here we are in this tabernacle tonight. And we're asking, Lord, as it seems the theme has been all day, we need Pentecostal renewal. We need Pentecostal revival. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We are a generation, Lord, that is looking for you to open the windows of heaven. Lord, would you grant it tonight in this house? Lord, let hearts be filled with your power. Lord, let us be soaked and saturated in your glory. We thank you tonight. Bless every heart and life. We ask, Lord, you be our helper tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. The conditions are right for rain. Hallelujah. Tonight, if I can, I would like to just share with you a couple of things. And I'm going to do my best not to hold you long, but we want the Lord, amen, to do a work in our hearts and lives here tonight. Amen. We want to be sure that he has full permission to do what he would like to do amongst us. Can I say tonight that as we take a look at the times that are around us, it it is evidence. You don't have to be a Bible theologian. You don't have to have a whole bunch of degrees, amen, in Bible studies to look around and to recognize that we are living in the last days. That we are, and should I say, I feel a little bit more comfortable with even saying that more so I think it is fitting that we are living in the last moments of time. I believe that soon and very soon that Jesus is going to open the portals of glory, amen, to call away his bride, the church. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that great resurrection morning, hallelujah, that rapture that's going to take place. Understand is that tonight there might be many of you young people in this house that you may not know the ins and outs of Bible prophecy. Maybe tonight there are some of those things that you would say, Brother Jacob, it might be a little over my head. There's some things that I'm not aware of. There's some things that I hear people talk about that's happening in the news or happening in our nation or happening around the world, and I'm not really sure of what it all means. And I understand tonight, when I was your age, it was not something I was interested in to turn on the news and see what was going on. My equivalent to news at your age was ESPN. I wanted to see, hey man, what the Chicago Bulls were doing. I wanted to see what my favorite teams were playing. I wasn't necessarily interested in world affairs. However, one thing I believe that we as young people can identify with is that it doesn't take far to look around. To look around in your neighborhood. Look around even in your church. Can we get even a little bit more personable? Look around even in your youth group. Take a look around Truth Camp, and you will find and identify that the hour in which we live, that there is a lot of people who are desperately searching and looking for something different. There are some young people, I believe, who are looking for a semblance of hope, a semblance of rescue, a semblance of peace of mind, a semblance of purpose. If I could just find, preacher, some help in the time in which we live, in these desperate days. All of us are aware and can identify with darkness that is around us. All of us can identify and recognize as sin permeates the very classrooms of our schools. And let me make this disclaimer. I've come to find it doesn't matter if it's a public school or even a private school. I'm an administrator of a private school, and I can tell you I've seen darkness, I've seen suffering, and I've seen sin even in the corridors of our private school. Why? Because we as young people, as you come from your homes and you come from this world and in this society, we are in this world, and there are things that we are suffering. There are things that we're trying to survive. There are situations, as we talked about last night, as to where we're trying to overcome. All of us can identify with perilous times. All of us can identify, amen, with these days as to where there are doubts. Days as to where there is depression. Days as to where there are things that we are up against. Conditions, hear me, conditions that are scary in which we live, conditions that have even affected the church, conditions that have caused change, and we are trying to fight against the culture of this modern day world. The Word of God said, perilous times shall come. One songwriter said, troublesome times are here. But I came tonight to declare some good news that God has not left us in disparaging times. He has not left us in moments of confusion. He has not left you in the darkness to suffer. He has not left you to bleed and die in the wastelands of this world, because the word said, even though there's perilous times, in the book of Acts, it said in those same days, in those last days, there's going to be a pouring out. There's going to be a revival. There's going to be a renewal. There's going to be some folks that are operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hear me. Even though we are surrounded by this, I'm glad that the story doesn't stop with perilous times. I'm thankful tonight that in the place as to where there are these conditions, there are some who would say, Brother Jacob, I just don't know about the conditions that I'm dealing with. I don't know about the conditions as to what I feel in my soul. Have you ever been at a place as to where you could look around a sanctuary and everybody else has got to worship? Everybody else has got to praise. But there you sit. And if you were real honest, you would say, Brother Jacob, the condition of my soul tells me, it makes me feel like God is a million miles away. It makes me feel like my prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. Brother Jacob, the conditions in my home, the conditions in my mind, there are some young people tonight under the sound of my voice that in your mind you have been tormented. In your mind, you've been pushed to the edge. In your mind, you've had some questions. Dare I say, even if life is still worth living, in your mind and in your spirit, you have been in turmoil and trouble and in the fight. And there would be a devil in hell who would want you to look at the current condition and write you off and say, this is how the story ends for you. But I believe tonight that before we leave this house, there would be some young people who are here in this building that would say, there are some conditions that are difficult, but if I really look around, I would dare believe that the conditions that are around me, yes, they might have come to kill me, but I'm going to take a look at God's perspective, and it may just be that the conditions are right for revival, that the conditions are right for rain, that the conditions are right for God to saturate my soul. Whoa! Come on, somebody. Oh, I've come to find in a little bit of study is that for the conditions, and you can Google it, and I'm going to make apology if there are some things you hear tonight that paralleled what Brother Stephen said this morning. He and I did not collaborate. We didn't share notes. However, I just believe it's the theme and the thread that God has intended for today. Oh, hear me. I began to do a little bit of study, and I began to look and began to Google what are the conditions for rain. And when we look at this, we have to understand, if I can be a little bit scientific, is that for there to be conditions that are proper and right for rain, there has to be a change in the atmospheric pressure. There has to be a change in the atmospheric pressure. It's also called barometric pressure. You see, I thought about that for a second, and I said to myself, there are some young people that are here tonight, and you are in the vice, and you are under pressure. You are feeling the squeeze. You are feeling as if everything is coming down around you. Can I tell you tonight that I believe that as much as we fight against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and darkness in this day, that as we look at the pressure that is surrounding us, can I tell you tonight is that we are in a place where I believe that the devil would love for some of us to break under the pressure that is around us, to break under the pressure that is around us. I want you to understand tonight, Pastor Tom, would you come here for a second and help me? I want you to understand tonight, Pastor Tom's going to represent, which he already is, a man of God. And I want you to understand, young people, as here he is, if you'll face these fine folks, here he is, and I can tell you, is that the pressures that you face in this life, they are not just in your teenage years, but they will follow you in your 20s. They'll follow you in your 30s. They'll follow you in your 40s. As long as you are breathing, there is an adversary who is looking to pick a fight with you. There is an adversary who is looking to destroy you. There is an adversary who is looking to crush you. And I want to remind you tonight, it's that here we are, as we are servants of the Most High. We got a brother who has dedicated his life to clean living. Come on, somebody. Holy living. And to go against the corruption. But can I tell you, is that while young men and young women, while there's moms and dads who would do their best to serve the Lord, is there are pressures that come around you. There are pressures that want to come and suffocate you. Just stand right up here on him. There are pressures that want to surround your life and surround your mind. I didn't necessarily intend for this to happen, but there are some of you who are aware maybe a little bit of Brother Tom's testimony. Oh, there was a time when there was pressure. There was a time. I want all of you fellas to grab arms together. I want all of you to just surround him. And what I want you to do is I want you to just to squeeze on in. Come on, some young people. Have you ever been at a place in your life as to where you were trying to live right? You were trying to do right. You were trying to serve God. But there was pressure that was coming in around you. There's some young people tonight. You have been under pressure to give up your purity. There are some of you that are under pressure to compromise and bow down to this world. There are some of you that are under pressure trying to fit in with popularity. There are some of you that are under pressure to fit the role of what the world tells you success is, of what the world tells you what a young lady ought to look like and be like and dress like. There's pressure, young men. There's pressure for you to have a warped mentality of the good things that God has ordained in this life. He wants your minds to be filled with wickedness and vile and sin. There's pressure. Pressure. Have you been there when in the atmosphere you're trying to do right? Trying to do right, but the squeeze is upon you. The pressure, come on here, where you're trying to breathe. I don't know if Pastor Tom's claustrophobic or not. where you're trying to breathe, where you're trying. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody here in this house that you'd come even to Truth Camp and everybody else can lift their hands and begin to worship, and you're trying to do something? You're trying to sing a song. You're trying to rejoice. You're trying to get your mind on the Lord, but you're struggling because you're under the pressure, because it's there. But can I tell you, God is not going to leave you in the place as to where the pressure is going to destroy you. God is not going to leave this generation in a place where the pressure is going to suffocate you, because what happens with barometric pressure is that for rain to begin to form, there is a low pressure system that begins to rise higher in the air. Would somebody hear what I'm trying to say? There is a low pressure system, Brother Barrow, that warm air that, oh, listen to me. Did you know tonight that warm air currents often reside in the valleys and they make their way up? Can I tell somebody in this house tonight, if you would say, Brother Jacob, I find myself in the valley. I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death. Brother Stephen said, that's where the cup runs over. But can I tell you, it's in the valley where the warm air begins to rise. I want to tell somebody in this house, you're not in the valley to die. Woo! You're not in the valley to die, but you're in the valley and you feel the pressure, because God says, I am changing the atmosphere, because the conditions are going to get right for it to rain upon your life. Can I tell somebody in this house, it's time for some young people. I believe right here at Truth Camp, you've been ordained for this day, for this hour, for this moment. You're the one in this generation, and I firmly believe you're under such attack, because the devil knows that if you were to rise up, that if you were to rise up, that if you were to get to a place that were to say, I'm going to be a part of changing the atmosphere, give somebody a high five and tell them, say, you've been chosen to change the atmosphere. Come on here. Look here. Pressure of doubt. Pressures of fear. Pressures of discouragement. Pressures of conformity. Pressures of lack of faith. Pressures of egos. Pressures of impurities. Pressures, I mean, we can go on and on, and they squeeze and squeeze. But when that warm air rises, can I tell you, the word that Google said, the weather department said, is that when two masses of air come together, when that atmosphere begins to change, how are we going to change it? What are we going to do, man of God? How are we going to get out of this mess? How are we going to break free? How are we going to change the atmosphere? Can I tell you, Brother Stephen said it. Oh, but look, there's something rising up. Take a look, there's something that's beginning. Oh, can I tell you tonight, is that when you're in that place and you would say, Brother Jacob, I've tried to pray, I've tried to fast, I've tried to read my way out. I can tell you, one of the things you can do to change the atmosphere is lift your voice in praise and begin to worship and begin to magnify the name of the Lord. Oh, come on here. Can I tell you, when everybody else tries to get in to help you, when everybody else tries to tell you, come on, we're there fighting with you. I appreciate the help. I appreciate the prayers. But there's some times, Brother Stephen, that the only thing we can do and the only thing you can do is you're going to have to take it upon yourself that you're going to lift your voice. I wonder if we got some young people who are like a Job, who would say, though he slay me, yet will I bless him, yet will I trust him. I'm in the middle of the pressure. Oh, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. You see, when we began to worship, when everything else is going wrong, but we begin to focus on the one who's right. Come on, somebody. When everything else is hard, when everything else is messed up, but we begin to worship the Prince of Peace that gives peace that passes all understanding. When the devil tries to tell you're going to die, but we lift our hands even in the dark and we say, I'm serving the life and the resurrection. When there's some that would say, I'm discouraged and I am about to throw in the towel, but you can raise your hands and say, I'm going to serve the one who's going to give me strength to run another mile. Can I tell somebody in this house, the conditions are right, not for you to quit, not for you to give in, not for you to give up, not for you to walk away, but the condition is right for you to change the atmosphere. The condition is right for the rain to fall in your life. Woo. As you begin to worship, as you begin to praise, and that warm air begins to rise, those praises begin to rise, what happens is one by one, go ahead and worship, Brother Tom. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. One by one, that pressure, it begins to break, and something begins to happen. And all of a sudden, you say, hang on a second. I'm feeling something in the atmosphere. I'm feeling something that's beginning to change. I'm feeling something, oh, that I never felt before. There's something rising up inside of me. There's something that's telling me I can go ahead. There's something down inside of me telling me it's going to be all right. There's something down inside of me saying I'm not going to die of thirst. I'm not going to die of famine, but I'm going to drink from the living waters. Hallelujah. When we began to change, thank you, men. When we begin to change the atmosphere, oh, hear me. What happens with your praise is that we come to find is that it also, that praise, as that rises into the atmosphere, there is a process for rain to fall. You have to understand that sometimes we just look at rain and we see it falling from the sky. But there's a process. You see, for rain to fall, there's something that has to go up. Come on here. For rain to fall, there is something that has to go up. It is the process of evaporation. You see, the truth of the matter is, if there's a mud puddle, if there's a pool, if there's a pond, if there's a lake, if there's a river, or if there is an ocean, anywhere that there's a body of water, there is that sun that begins to pull it up into the atmosphere. it begins to evaporate and began to form clouds in the sky. Can I tell some young people in this house tonight, this might sound elementary. This might sound as if you'd say, Brother Jake, we thought you'd bring us something a little bit deeper. But I'm here to tell you, the adversary would like for you to think it's a whole lot harder than what it is. But you can change that atmosphere when you take what you have available in your life. And you might say, Brother Jacob, I ain't got a whole lot. All I got's a puddle. Maybe somebody else has a pond. Maybe somebody else has a pool. Maybe somebody else has a lake. Brother Sean, somebody else might have an ocean. But all I can tell you, young person, is that if you want to see the rain fall, you've got to let the sun pull it up out of you and begin to glorify and begin to magnify and begin to send that praise up into the heavens. Send that praise up into the place where God begins to collect it. The Bible said that he inhabits the praise of his people. Can I tell you, is that if you want to make hell nervous, if you want the devil scratching his head, then give us some young people that when hell has hit you with his best shot, when hell is through his best punch at you, come on here. Brother Stephen quoted one of my favorite verses out of Micah. And Brother Wilson, while he was quoting that today, I remembered in my mind, I shared this with somebody the other day, but I remember in my mind I had an inflatable punching bag in my bedroom. And in the bottom of that punching bag, Brother Wilson, it was full of sand. And that punching bag, on the front of that punching bag was a clown that has a crazy looking face. Yeah. He had a goofy grin. Right? He just looked at you real weird. There's some of you already weirded out by clowns anyway. But it was a clown on that punching bag, Brother Seth. And listen, I know this is going to sound carnal. I've got to ask forgiveness from the director. But when I was a kid, back in the 80s, Sister T, one of the big blockbusters of that day was The Karate Kid. Somebody don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Ooh, I'd be in there watching old Ralph Macchio. He'd wax on and wax off. He'd be in there karate chopping. He'd be in that arena fighting that old blonde-headed boy. And I knew how the movie was going to end, but every time I'd get pumped up. At the end, he'd done had his legs swept. He was hobbling and hopping. And everybody was sitting on the edge of their seat saying, is a Karate Kid going to make it? And before you thought it was down, oh, he would. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Sean, you know what I'm talking about. And that old blonde-headed fellow would come, and old Daniel's son, he tried to warn him. You see, in that movie, he'd even be in that position. And he was looking at that old boy running toward him. He said, don't you do it. I'm getting ready to kick you into next week. I'm getting ready to bloody your nose. Come on, somebody. And I'm reminded I'd go in there and I'd be practicing that crane kick on that inflatable punching bag. I'd karate kick it. I'd karate chop it. I'd do all that stuff. And that stinking clown, no matter how hard I hit him, no matter how big of a kick I gave him, that goofy thing would keep. Come on here. I mean, Brother Smith, I would give him my best. And if it wasn't Karate Kid, it was Rocky Balboa. And I was in there. I was fighting Apollo Creed. And I mean, I'd punch and I'd hit. And no matter how hard I hit, that crazy clown kept popping back up. Can I tell somebody in this house, we need some young people that when the devil's kicked you, when the devil's hit you, that with all of hell has assailed you, I'm looking at some young people who would say, I'm not worried about the pressure. I'm going to keep on getting back up. I'm going to keep on praising. I'm going to keep on glorifying. I need some young people in the house who would say, here I am. You hit me once. Here I am. You hit me twice. Here I am. I need some young people who would say, the atmosphere is right for rain. Because I'm going to keep getting back up. I'm going to keep getting back up. I'm going to keep letting praise evaporate from my life. Brother Jacob, I ain't got much. You don't need much, Brother Howard. You'd be surprised what a sincere hallelujah. What a sincere I love you, Jesus. What a sincere God, you're so good. Come on, somebody. Would there be some folks right now in this house? You just take a praise break and lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, I know you've chosen me to change the atmosphere. I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to glorify you. Oh, the condition is right for rain. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you glory. Hear me. Music, if you'll come. Oh, listen. When we look at this, as praise collects in the heavens, as God inhabits the praise of his people, for rain to fall, all there needs to be a little bit is gravity. And I begin to think to myself, one of the greatest forms of gravity that God supplies, it's the grace. The gravity of grace. The gravity of grace. Oh, I don't deserve him, but he loves me. And he'll give me the gravity of his grace to send down showers and blessings, to do something to fill me up, to refresh me, to renew me. Now, I want you young people to hear something tonight. I believe more than ever before, we need young people that are experiencing a personal Pentecost. A personal Pentecost. There are some of you that know about what your mom and daddy have done. There are some of you that know about what grandma and grandpa's done. There are some of you know what your pastor does. There are some of you know what your youth pastor does. But you know what my prayer has been this week and for this week? God, let there be some young people that go on back to their home churches and go on back to their families. And they stand and say, I have come as an agent of change. I know there are some conditions. I know there are perilous times. But there's also a time for an outpouring. There's also, I want to be the vessel that God would fill up. I want to be the vessel that God will flow through. I want to be the vessel as to what God can use. My prayer and the theme today from Brother Stephen's message to now, I believe we just need an old-fashioned infilling of the Holy Ghost. We need a renewal in the Holy Ghost. There are some under the sound of my breath as to where you've yet to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But I believe tonight the conditions are right for rain. I believe that you don't have to leave here like you came in Jesus' name, because the Holy Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Oh, it doesn't matter what the current circumstance is. I believe I'm in a room with some young people who would say, I'm ready to change the atmosphere. I believe there's some young people here that would say, I'm ready. I'm ready to rise up and let there be a shift in atmospheric pressure. I've been surrounded, but I haven't lost my praise. I've been persecuted. I've been blasted. I've been tormented. But I have not lost my hope. The conditions are right for rain. Well, Brother Jake, I'm dry and dusty. That's wonderful. You're a perfect candidate. Well, Brother Jake, I came to this camp and I've had a whole heap of problems. That's all right. I believe tonight God can make a way of deliverance as you begin to glorify. I believe there's some young people in this house that want to make hell nervous tonight. I believe there's some young people in this house who would say, my current conditions have been perilous. My current conditions have been pressure filled. My current conditions have tried to rob me of my joy and my peace. But tonight I'm going to let God use me to change the atmosphere, because the conditions are right for rain. Can I give you a word of instruction? I want everybody to hear me. And if I'm wrong or if I'm out of line, Pastor Goodwin can correct me. I'm not coaching anybody on what to say, but I have observed some things in these altar services. There are some, you've been seeking the baptism, you've been seeking renewal, you've been seeking refreshing. And you come and you'll lift your hands, but you just stop there. I've watched some of you, those lips have stayed closed. I've seen some of you that maybe it's just due to the fact that maybe you've never been instructed before, as to where some that are seeking the baptism, you'll just kind of open your mouth and you're thinking that the Lord is just going to take control of your tongue. But here, if I can just give a little bit of simple instruction. We had a man in our first church that we pastored, had been seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost for 23 years. When he came and started attending our church, not long after he had come, I'd preached a series on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he came that first night in those altars, and Brother Tom, he sweated and he cried and he wept and he begged and he pleaded and he bargained. He stayed up there till his body was drenched and his knees were swollen. And he sat down on that front pew and I could tell he was deflated. I could tell he was discouraged. And I sat down beside him. I put my arm around him. I said, Brother Jeff, I said, it's going to be all right. I said, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And I was a little bold in my statement, but I believed with all my heart. I said, Sunday or Wednesday night, come back to service. I said, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost Wednesday night. And he looked at me and he said, but Brother Jake, he said, in all of my saved years, he said, I've been seeking 23 years. He said, I have given this up and done this, and I've bargained and I've pleaded and I've done all of these things. I said, Brother Jeff, if I can tell you, you have made it more difficult than what it has to be. I said, here's what I want you to do. Wednesday night when the altar call comes, I said, I want you to come and stand and lift those hands, and I want you to just begin to glorify the name of the Lord. I said, I want you just to begin to praise him. I said, I want you, but I said, listen, you're going to have to open your mouth. Hear me tonight, young people. Oh, hell don't mind you come up here. Raise your hands a little bit. Shed a few tears. But if you want to let hell know that you're serious, give me some young people that'll open their mouth. That'll open their mouth and bless the name of the Lord. That'll open their mouth and say God is good, even in the storm. That'll say I'm going to praise you, even in my pain. I'm going to glorify you, even in my heartache. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So can I tell some of you tonight, if you're seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there ain't nobody in here going to come around and coach you on what to say. Ain't going to give you a list of verbiage to get your tongue tied. Come on here. But I'll tell you what happened for Jeff Evans on that Wednesday night. He stood in that altar. Brother Goodwin, he marched right up there. He lifted heaven, and he began, tears began to flow, and I heard out loud where the whole church could hear it. He said, God, you are good. I will glorify you. I will bless your name. I will magnify you. And there came a point, Sister Wilson, where his English just couldn't do justice, and all of a sudden the fountain began to flow from the belly. The fountain began to open up, and his English turned into a heavenly language, and that man stood there over an hour gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to beg. It's a gift. Is this all right, mamas and daddies? Is this all right, pastor? You ain't got to make bargains. I just need somebody who'll say, I want to change the atmosphere. I'm just going to bless the Lord. Some of you, maybe it's been a while since you've had a fresh infilling. You know what I'd love to see? I'd love Pastor Goodwin to get phone calls about young men and young women who came back from truth camp. And Pastor said, now I've got young people who are being used in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. I've got young people that are changing the atmosphere of our church. Brother Sean, I've got some young people in the youth group. And I mean, they're lifting their hands and they're glorifying God. And the atmosphere's changing. I'm telling you, the condition is right for rain. I want everybody who will to stand to your feet. Oh, I brought this umbrella to signify talking about rain. But you know what I like to do when I was a kid? You know what I like to do? Don't you come up here wanting rain and bringing your umbrella with you. I want some young people who'll say, we're going to change the atmosphere, and tonight I'm going to get rid of the umbrella. I'm just going to dance in the rain. I'm just going to find myself saturated in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody praise him tonight. Somebody lift your voice and give him glory. Oh, come on, young people, right now, open those mouths, begin to glorify him. Come on, can you sense it? Come on, can you hear it? Come on, there's a thunder. Come on, a change is happening in the atmosphere right now. Come on. Come on. Lift that voice. There's some of you tonight, you're leaving here filled with the Holy Ghost. There's some of you here, the rest of us, gonna leave here refilled, recharged, renewed, saying, I have had a personal Pentecost in Tuesday night Truth Camp service. I'm going to praise past the pressure. I'm going to praise past the pain. I'm going to praise past the problems. I'm going to praise. I'm going to get back up. Oh, he's here. Come on. I'm waiting for some of you. Some of you still looking around. Come on, lift those hands. Lift those hands. Praise him till English just won't do. Praise him till the Spirit gives you utterance. Praise him. If you're here tonight, you'd say, Brother Jacob, I believe the conditions are right for rain, and I want to get under the spout. I want to get full of the Holy Ghost. That's what's going to clean up the corruption in the church. That's what's going to break the yokes of bondage. That's what's going to set captives free. It's an old-fashioned experience in the Holy Ghost. I want you to step out from where you are. Come on, young people. Come on to these altars. Stand in this front. Come on, Brother Dustin. Lift those hands to heaven. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Come on, young men. Tell God how good he is. Come on. Come on.
Floodgates of heaven.
Come on, counselors. Find some young people. Come on, young ladies. Lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hands to heaven. That's it. I'm chosen. I'm chosen to change the atmosphere. I believe the conditions are right for rain. No. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. Open your mouth. Give him glory.
Your kingdom stands still. Our faith, our hope.
Oh, Sister Macy. Come on, sis. Come on, that's it. Glorify him.